Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. Paul's words remind us that there is none righteous, no, not one. If that's the case, then what hope can there be for the sinner? Well, today we look at Paul's words to the church in Rome and find out that there is, indeed, hope that can only be found in the grace of God. So grab your Bible, turn into Romans chapter 3, and join us as we look at grace greater than all our sin.
This is my second time preaching at the camp meeting. I consider it an incredible honor to be here, to be sharing the same ground as some of the great preachers of the last 145 years. Can you believe it? This is the 144th year of, actually it's the 145th year, I didn't want to say anything, but it's the 145th season, 144 years ago, this camp meeting started, 1871, right where we're sitting. 1871, a group of Methodists got together and they said, we want to bring Christ with us when we leave the city to go and repose. We wanted to go on a retreat, as it were. We call them retreats today. Back then they called them camp meetings. You know, they would camp. There would be tents all along these 12 avenues. And they would sleep out here and they would get up and there would be preaching all day long. There was a preacher here in the 20s. His name was Billy Sunday, one of my favorite old-time preachers. And Billy Sunday, he was a fiery guy. He would get up there, and because he used to be a professional ball player. And he gave up a job with the Pittsburgh Pirates earning $5,000 a year. Can you believe that? He gave up $5,000. Well, it's not much today. But, you know, $5,000 a year back in 1897 was a lot of money. And he gave that up to become a preacher because he was called by God to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Billy Sunday was this fiery guy, and he'd stand up there, and he did this a lot. He'd say he was like fighting, he was boxing with Satan. He said, come on, snotty nose Satan, and he would just fight Satan to the ground. You know, I love that. I love that kind of fire in preaching. And we don't always get it on a Sunday morning. I'm calling out myself because I know I'm not that fiery on a Sunday morning. Well, let's face it, I just woke up for one thing, and usually I'm up late the night before. You know, so it's hard. It's really hard. But by Sunday evening, I'm ready to go. So maybe we should just have all our Sunday services in the evening, right? Because then it would be, you know, everybody be all fired up and everybody be already awake and jazzed up on caffeine and all kinds of other things. So, I want to look at the Word of God today, because that's why we're here. I want to look at the Word of God. I want to look at the book of Romans. Now, in my two churches, I am currently doing a preaching series based in the book of Romans, and it's called The Theology of Ministry. I'm not preaching from that series. I see some people here that are from my two churches, and so I'm promising you, you have not heard this material today, let's just say. You may have heard it in the past year, but you have not heard it today. Romans chapter 3, and beginning at verse, I can't even read that, 21. These little, maybe if I turn it this way. There we go. No, that doesn't work. You know, enlarge it. That's a good idea, Steve. Thank you. Very good. All right. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. If you have a New Revised Standard Version, the heading there says righteousness through faith. Okay. And Paul says to the church in Rome, but now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous, and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. May God pour out His blessing upon this, the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Lord God, Your message is strong and Your messenger is weak. I pray, Lord, that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit upon me to deliver the word that You have given. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, as I said, I am preaching from this series in the book of Romans currently. We started in chapter 6, so I figured it might be safe if I bring up some material from chapter 3. And when I think of Romans chapter 3, the very first verse that comes to mind is 3:23. It says, in the NRSV, it says, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is such an important thing for us to understand as Christians. It's such an important thing to understand. If you're here today because you fell short of the glory of God, you're in good company, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. How many?
All.
Thank you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one person on this earth, apart from Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was perfect and sinless and blameless. Everybody else, who sinned? Thank you. We are paying attention. All right. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. That means me. That means you. And nobody is exempt. Sometimes we come into church and we think to ourselves, oh, all these people got it together. All these people, you know, I feel out of place. I don't belong here. I don't belong here because, you know, I've still got things going on in my life that I can't control. I still face temptation and I still give in. And that's not good. I don't belong here. I'm a fraud. I've said those words. I've sat in churches and said those words, because when I look around at the congregation, I see all these people and they all have it together. Every single one of them. All these people got it together. Why can't I? What's wrong with me? And then I read, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is so important to me, because it means I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I don't have to face this trial alone. I don't have to be burdened by this sin all by myself. And you know what? It's very freeing. Now, this part you did hear today, by the way, but it is very freeing to tell on your sin to somebody else. It's called accountability. Accountability. It frees us. Because when we shine a light on our sin, it scatters like cockroaches. Well, I'm not saying anything about anybody's cleanliness or anything like this. Let me put it to you this way. I'm going to put it to you this way. Okay? When I lived in Louisiana, all right, we lived in a trailer. And we had cockroaches. It was just a fact of life. I don't care how clean you keep it down there, there's going to be cockroaches. But I didn't get that, because I grew up in a house that was cockroach free. So having cockroaches, I felt really filthy. And I said, you know, we got to get rid of these cockroaches. So I went down to the Piggly Wiggly. And that's an actual place, by the way. Yeah. Piggly Wiggly. So I went down to the Piggly Wiggly and I bought all these roach bombs and I put them on the belt, and they went up to the lady at the counter and she picked one up and she looked at me and she said, these ain't gonna work. And I said, well, which ones will work? And she says, none of them. And I said, well, why do you have them? She goes, for the Yankees. I said, I don't care. Give them to me. I'm a Yankee. You know, I figured maybe if a Yankee sets off the bomb, I don't know. Yeah. So it says for you to set off the bombs. It says you should put one for every so many square feet. I actually put like two, right? They said blow out your pilot lights, and I blew out the pilot light. I turned off all the gas, made sure everything was all set. Put two bombs for every one that they said for me to put out, right? And then we took the whole family, all the family pets and the children, and we went to the mall in Alexandria, which is an hour's drive away. And we stayed at the mall all day long. And then we came back, and I swear, I'm not even kidding, the cockroaches were on the kitchen floor going, "Woo! That's some pretty potpourri you got there, Yankee." You know, I'm serious. I mean, these things would not die. Right? Well, that was the last time I tried. But one thing I did notice about the cockroaches was this. They don't like the light. They don't like the light. And in that regard, they are very much like sin. Because in the middle of the night, you would come out and it would be pitch black and you turn on the kitchen light and you'd see, they'd all scatter. You know? Well, our sin is like that too. When we tell on our sin, when we tell on our sin to another person, when we share our struggle with someone else, that sin is like, whoa, light, no, I'm out of here, you know? It's so hard to be alone and be a Christian. It's so hard to be alone and be a Christian because you think that you're the only one out there dealing with all these issues. And if you're like me, you think, well, what's wrong with me? You're not alone. You are not alone. If you're sitting there tonight thinking you're the only person struggling with sin, you're not alone. You're not the only person here who's struggling with sin. I promise you that. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm struggling too. Go ahead. You know, it's a fact of life. And there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Chapter 8 starts, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? The fact of the matter is, because of our sin, we deserve death. You see, death came into the world as a result of sin. When Adam and Eve broke the one commandment, I mean, you know, we've got 10, right? Or actually, if you're Jewish, there's like 613 laws in the Levitical book. But at the time of Adam and Eve, they had, you know, the one commandment. Now, can everybody remember the Ten Commandments? Could you remember one? If you had one thing that you had to do, it's like there's a thing online where they say you had one job. You had one job and you messed it up. Yeah, everybody's people's nodding, they know what I'm talking about. They had one job. They had one commandment to follow, and they broke it. And it didn't take them very long. And what was it that caused them to sin? It was
an apple.
It was a fruit, that's true. It was an apple, okay. We'll call it an apple. It was the serpent who spoke a word into Eve's ear and enticed her like this. He said, God knows that if you eat this fruit, you will be like gods, knowing good from evil. And that appealed to Eve's flesh. She says, oh, I want to be like God. I want to be like God. I can do that. You know, we in our society today, we set ourselves up as gods. Because we say, I can make my own choices. I can decide what I want to do. And there is no micromanaging deity that's going to tell me what I can and can't do. But that's exactly what Eve did. Eve said, and I'm not excusing Adam either, because the Bible says, and she gave some fruit to her husband who was with her. He was with her, and he never said a thing. He never said, you know, this might not be a good idea. You might want to put the fruit down. I mean, God said, no. He said, oh, fruit, okay, you know. From the very beginning, God told them that if they ate from the fruit, they would die. And they didn't die immediately, but when they broke that commandment, sin entered into the world and death followed with it. Because of sin, we deserve death. Because of sin, we deserve death. You know, we get so bent out of shape over what sin is and what sin isn't. You know what sin is? Sin is anything that goes against the image that God created in us. Okay? Genesis tells us that God created us in His image. God created them, man and woman, He created them in the image of God. That's how He made us. And any time we stray from that image, that's sin. So the next time you're doing something and you're wondering, is this a sin or not? Think about God doing that very same thing. Okay? Any time we sin, we earn death. Last week in my sermon series, we covered Romans 6:23. And the verse says, "For the wages of sin is death." And I explained it like this. Well, when you work at a job, you earn a wage. You earn a wage. You have to work at it to earn it. They don't just give you the money for nothing. Okay? You work at a job and you earn a wage. And the wage that you get is what you earn. Well, if you work at sin, you earn death. The wages of sin is death. But, oh, hallelujah, there's a but. Amen. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You don't work at it. You can't. God knows that you can't earn it. And so He gives it to you for free. For free. This thing keeps flipping on me and it's driving me crazy. You know, when you are a master of technology, you become its slave. I just want to say that. We deserve death. Death is a byproduct of sin. But we are justified. Justified by God through Jesus Christ. Justified. I don't even remember where I hear these things. There's almost nothing original that ever comes out of my mouth. I want to tell you that right now. Okay? Almost everything that you hear from me is something that somebody else has said. I'm like Milton Berle. You know, Milton Berle said, "I wish I said that." And then somebody says, "Well, you will." Well, that's me. You know, I take a lot of what I say in a sermon from other sermons that I have heard. And one of the things that I've heard, and I love this because it helps me to remember, is that being justified is, it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's just as if I'd never sinned. And the minute I accept Jesus' atoning sacrifice for my sins, the fact that He went to the cross for me, that my name was on His lips as He hung on that cross, as soon as I come to that realization, as soon as I accept that and say, "Yes, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this on my own. I tried and tried and tried. I'm giving it to You." As soon as I do that, I'm justified. And it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's just as if I'd never sinned. But justification is an event. And sanctification is a process. We talked about that today. See, we're covering some of the same material. I know. But it's hard when you're doing Romans not to do Romans. So, we are justified through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:9 says that we're justified through our faith. Through our faith that Jesus is our Savior. That we cannot do this on our own. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God." There's that gift again. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Friends, if we could earn our way into heaven by our good deeds, if we could, by our works, earn our way into heaven, then Jesus never had to go to the cross. Why would God send His Son to die on a cross if He didn't have to? But He did. Because it was the only way. Because it was the only way. Because He loved us that much. That blows my mind. It blows my mind that God loved me that much, that He sent His Son to die with pain on a cross for my sins. And it blows my mind that the Son went willingly, bearing my sins to the cross, bearing your sins to the cross. It's the only way. It had to be the only way. If there was another way, they would have done it. But that was the way. And there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Twice I said, it's a gift. Romans 6:23 says, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, faith is not of ourselves, it is a gift from God. God gives us what we need. Why? Because He loves us and He wants to spend eternity with us. And all we have to do is accept the gift. If you come down to the Christmas tree on Christmas morning and you see a great big gift wrapped box there in gold foil and a big red bow, and you look at it and you go, I didn't do anything to deserve that. You should just take it back. Well, you don't benefit from the gift. You didn't accept the gift. You have to accept it. You have to open it. And God is going to keep putting that gift under that tree until you do. That's prevenient grace. That's prevenient grace. That's the grace that God offers to each and every one of us until we accept it. Revelation says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone should open the door and let me in, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. All you have to do is open the door. Open the door. When we give our lives to Jesus, we are His for all time. For all time. And I mean, when we give our lives to Jesus, you know, it's not enough. To me, it's just not enough to say, okay, Jesus, yeah. Because you know what? For years, I believed. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. I even said, well, maybe Jesus was the Son of God. I knew He went to the cross. I knew He went to the cross and died for my sins. But I didn't really get it. I didn't really get it. I glossed over the fact that it was His love. It was His love that sent Him there. It was His love that sent Him there. And when I realized how much love God has for me, a broken sinner, crimson with sin. I mean, just the worst person you would ever want to meet. And yet God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me? Friends, I got to tell you, that's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to think that God did that for me. But He didn't just do it for me. He did it for you. He did it for each and every one of you. If you've ever seen a movie called The Passion of the Christ, the very first time I saw it, it did not have an effect on me because I was not a Christian. I sat in a movie theater with my wife and we sat behind these two elderly women who were crying at the scourging scene. And my wife and I sat in the back behind them and laughed and said, haven't you read the book? Don't you know how this ends? Come on. The second time I saw The Passion of the Christ, I had given my life to Jesus Christ. And now I was watching for the very first time my Savior and what He did for me. It's powerful. People, you could say what you want about that movie, that it's too graphic, but that is what the Son of God did for each and every one of us. That's what He did, and He did it out of love. Out of love. And it's only His grace. Only His grace. I've been up here and I've been talking for, I don't know how long, I haven't been looking at the clock. And what keeps going on in my mind is this. I grew up in a church. I grew up in a church. I sat in the pews for the first 18 years of my life. And then when I went to college, my foundation was so shallow that it took less than a year for me to say, there is no God. There is no God. Religion is a sham. Anyone who believes in God just uses them as a crutch. It's what I believed. God never gave up on me. He kept calling to me and kept bringing me back to Him until finally I found myself at an altar like this in South Seville Camp on my knees. Tears running down my face. October 5th, 2008, I gave my life to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Amen. It took that long. It was 39 years of my life. And I tell you that to tell you this, that there might be somebody sitting here tonight who has been sitting in the pews all their lives and never gave their life to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that tonight is the night. What are you waiting for? You know what He did for you. You know how He came for you. How He gave His life for you. And it doesn't even matter all the sin. Everything that you've done in the past. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, everything is wiped away. Like the best whiteboard eraser ever. Nothing is left. It's all gone. And God says, come. Come. Friends, I got to tell you, I get chills when I think about how God called to me and how He never gave up on me. Even when I turned my back on Him, He never turned His back on me. For 22 years, I walked away from God. 22 years. You can do a lot of walking in 22 years. You can cover a lot of distance in 22 years. And I walked and I walked and I walked and I was away from God, away from God, away from God. And finally, on that night, I said, why am I doing this? I've got to turn around. I've got to go back. And when I turned around, He'd been with me all the time. He'd been with me all the time. God is with us always, and He's always reaching out to us. He's calling to us in love. Won't you hear the call? Won't you say yes to Jesus Christ and what He's done for you? Let us pray. Lord God, it is amazing and awesome what You have done for each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank You for the message that You have given us. We thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son to die for us. We didn't ask for it. We didn't even deserve it. But You did it anyway. And so we give you our thanks. We give you our lives. Lord, we thank you for the faith of these people who came tonight to hear your word. And we thank you for this place that we could come. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.